All right, it's Ken Wobbler here with Power Players Radio, and I'm here with Boyd Paulhamis, what do you call your job? I mean, I'd say it's an MC, but what do they really say you are?
Yeah, I mean, I think MC is probably a pretty accurate host, announcer. I've been called a lot of different things, and some of them I can't repeat. But it's my job just to keep the people informed about who's riding, where they come from, what makes them tick, and, of course, what the score is, you know,
sure.
If we're up 7-0 or if we're tied in the fourth quarter. So that's basically my job, is to keep them entertained, informed, and knowledgeable about who's competing and on what.
Okay. Already a football reference, too, and I noticed.
Yeah.
I was going to wait to tease you about the Green Bay Packers, but I'll leave that alone.
Go ahead. You know, one thing about it, the thing I love about both Bronco and Packer fans is they're not fickle.
Right.
You know, even when there's a good year, they're fans. When there's a bad year, they're fans. You know, the Lambeau Field is, you know, they sell it out whether we're winning or losing. Same with Invesco at Mile High. And so I think I have a little bit of kinship with the Bronco fans, even though they're different teams, because they're loyal. They're very loyal. And to me, that says a lot about a fandom.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't be fair weather.
Well, and we were pulling for Green Bay, actually, in this
one. I think everybody was from the standpoint the same way that, you know, I was going to liken it to the year the Packers played the Broncos in the Super Bowl in that John Elway was America's quarterback back then. Everybody loved John, and they were hurting because he hadn't got a Super Bowl ring. And they went in to play the Packers, and the Packers were 11-point favorites. They were supposed to run away with it. And I think that probably would have been about the line against New England. Probably would have been favored by 11 or more over the Packers. And I think most of the country would have been rallying behind a guy like Brett Favre, who plays for the love of the game as much as he does for the money. So.
Sure. Hate to see him go out on an interception if he does.
Yeah,
who knows?
Well, you know, here's the thing. He's always said this, too, and this is what I love about Brett. He's always said that, look, you know, one play will never define his career. And unless you go out like Jerome Bettis or John Elway, you're going to go out a loser.
Yeah.
Unless you go out like Bettis or Elway, unless you win the big game, you're going to go out on something like that. I don't think Brett, if it wasn't that play, he'd probably look back and go, gosh, I wish I would have made another pass that would have been completed and kept the ball, you know, got us a new set of downs to get the ball rolling. So when you're a winner, when that fire of competition burns in your belly, then it doesn't matter how you lose. You just don't like losing at all. So
that's for sure. Well, there's the football stuff. Let's talk about what you're doing here. Now, we're at the National Western Complex for the 2008 National Western Stock Show, and you are announcing the rodeos here. And it's new to me.
Okay.
So, you know, this whole rodeo thing, it's kind of creeping up on me, and I like it, but I don't know a whole lot about it.
Okay.
For people who kind of tune into my show and maybe don't watch a lot of rodeo, what is the draw besides the pure adrenaline? I mean, for the fan, is it the adrenaline of watching people, you know, almost, you know, get trampled on by a bull? Or what is the real draw there?
Well, I can't answer for the people in the stands. I can guess. I think there is part of it that is that adrenaline rush, that the fact that there's a cowboy pitting himself against a 1,800-pound bull or a 1,300-pound bucking horse. I think there's the competition aspect of it that people enjoy. One guy ties a calf in 9 and the other guy ties him in 8. And so if you like competition, if you like extreme sports, there's a lot of that. What I, you know, speaking for myself, what draws me to it is the fact that the guys that do it are salt of the earth. They are really symbols and icons and the epitome of what America was back when the cowboy was ruling the day. Back in the late 1800s, we were a nation of faith. We were a nation with right and wrong, very little gray area. You know, we didn't make excuses when somebody did something wrong. It was wrong.
Right.
And it's the same way in the rodeo industry. When you do something wrong, you pay for it in the competition arena. If you don't ride the horse well, you're bucked off. You'll pay a price. If you don't rope and tie the calf quickly, there's no, that's okay, you still get a trophy. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think, for me, one of the biggest draws is these guys and gals that compete in this, number one, have to be very dedicated, have to be very disciplined, and they can't be doing it for the money,
right,
because there's not a lot of money in it. So what they're doing is they're doing enough of it to try to feed their family, try to make a living doing it. At the same time, they're doing it for the passion, for being around like-minded people who think about life and look at life the same way that they do. And, you know, where a man's handshake beats any 12-page contract.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of guys that play this game. And because of that, even though the money isn't there like it is in golf or NASCAR or any other sport, they're still willing to play it because of the emotional rewards rather than the financial.
Yeah, and not just play it, but live it. I mean, these guys are, it's all the time. And in fact, even what you do now, you're a team roper also, right?
Yeah, well, I attempt to. I mean, to call me a team roper would be an insult to the team ropers. But now, have I attempted to team rope? The answer is yes. And I shouldn't. I mean, I'm not good, but I'm not completely horrible either.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's a very fun event to do. And so, yes, I do a little bit of that. But never would I be able to compete at the level of the guys that we watch here. Never. I wouldn't even get close to these guys.
Sure.
It'd be like you driving a golf ball 300 yards once and saying, you know what, I could go play against Tiger.
Yeah.
And Tiger hits it 300 yards every time and straight down the fairway. But one day in a game of golf, you hit one in the sweet spot and it sails for 300 yards. Feels pretty good, but to say that you could go play golf against Tiger probably would be a stretch. And it's the same way with my roping.
I understand what you mean fully. That I've read somewhere that you spend almost 300 days a year on the road doing this, and I know these guys spend that kind of time too. And they really fill their schedule up. How does the family deal with that?
You know, again, you have to have a very strong family in order to be able to deal with it. I mean, it's not for the weak of heart. I think that in most marriages or families, everybody wants the other person to do what God's called them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these guys who compete, just as I feel like I've been called to announce rodeos, I think God put me in this position for a reason. He wants me here. Does that mean I don't miss my wife? No. Does that mean that some of the temptations that everybody else faces in the office place don't often sometimes rear their ugly head? Yes, they do. But at the same time, who are you serving?
Yeah.
Who are you serving? So, you know, I feel like in most cases, people sacrifice so that we can be involved in this industry because, again, it's not a place where you get wealthy. It's not a place where you get famous. But it is a place where you can touch the lives of lots of other people and do what God called you to do, be what God called you to be. And that's an abundant life. That's an abundant life aside from finances. Are any of us going to be Bill Gates or Brett Favre or John Elway with our bank accounts? Never, never. Let me tell you, when we go to our, you know, when we go to see our maker, I hope he says, come in my good and faithful servant.
Yeah, I understand that for sure. Well, you know, I noticed something in rodeo that I really appreciate. And as I shared with you, our ministry is media and it's faith-based media. And it's no holds barred. I mean, we're talking about Christ and we're talking about how he's using us and working with our lives. I noticed that the rodeo, unlike a lot of different sporting venues, you guys aren't afraid to talk about Christ, even from the stands where you're announcing.
Right. Well, and I got to tell you, again, that's probably why I'm not the voice of the Green Bay Packers. we do get heat. You know, the National Western gets a letter or two, and I've been in places that where we do receive heat, where we do receive, you know, those letters and those emails and those things saying why. But, you know, here's the way I look at it. You know, he's either, if I deny him in front of others, he'll deny me before my God.
That's right.
I am not going to deny Jesus Christ. He's the part of the fabric of who I am.
Mm.
If I reference him in a public setting that is not a religious or a spiritual setting, I'm going to do it in a way that is as non-offensive as possible. You know, I'm going to respect those people of different faiths, even though, you know, my faith tells me Jesus is the Lord. He is the only way we get to meet the Father.
Yeah.
You know, it's his sinless blood that atones for our sins. I mean, that's the fabric of who I am. He's a healer. So when a cowboy is injured, I want to reference that's part of my faith. And if there are others out there who share that faith, please exercise it together, because where would there ever two agree? You know, so we run it. I imagine if we were as big as football or big as basketball or as big as baseball, the dissenters would be more loud, like you hear them in other venues. But because it is a part of our culture and a part of our fabric, most of the people in the stands aren't shocked to hear it because they feel the same way about it as I do.
Yeah, it's comforting because not only the faith aspect, which I appreciate so much, but also you guys are proud of where you're at, and that's this country. And, you know, I noticed that you're always recognizing, in different events, they're soldiers and the people that are fighting for our country, and sure appreciate to hear that out there as well.
Oh, man, you know, we owe them such a great debt.
Yes, sir.
We owe them such a great debt. See, you know, in the Islamic states of this country, they say it's Sharia law.
Yeah.
And they force it upon their people. Even if I were able to get a Bible in their hands and tell them that, you know, Christ died for their sins and you can be redeemed through grace, he'll give you this gift of eternal life. You know, I can't get to them because their government says, no, sir, in this land it's Sharia, and if you try to do anything else, we'll chop your head off.
Yeah.
In this country, we allow the Muslims to exercise their faith, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, by no means. But we are also allowing the Christians and and people of any denomination or any different spiritual faith to exercise their faith. And I think when we're allowed to do that, in the end of the day, Christianity is going to win out.
Yeah.
Okay, and by that I mean people, when they get to know Christ through the Old and New Testament and see the fulfilling of the prophecies and realize that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one cometh to the Father but except through me. Now, let me tell you, you know, when people start seeing that and then they start seeing the spiritual manifestation of using God's word in their own life and having it come to pass, and then they start going, listen, this is the God, this is the God, this
yeah.
is the one I'm supposed to worship. But all that would be impossible without those men and women in uniform.
That's right.
Who are willing to fight and die. You know, the First Amendment of the Constitution reads, Congress shall make no law establishing a religion. That's because they didn't want a state government where it was forced upon the people. But no one ever reads the second part of the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law establishing a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Yeah.
So therefore, as Americans, the First Amendment guarantees us to exercise our faith whenever and with whomever we want. The government can't police us on our faith. You know, what they're afraid of, or what everybody argues is that the government's going to say, that's it, Christianity is the official faith of the United States of America, and
yeah.
force it down all those. So you know what? It's got to be a gift that you've got to be willing to receive. That's the craziest thing. People don't understand Christianity because, you know what, you can't force it on people.
That's right.
It's a gift that you have to receive. You know, it's one thing, if I offer you a gift and you don't take it, have you received it?
No,
you haven't. Christianity and the redemption of sins through the sinless blood of Christ is a gift that you must receive. It can't be forced upon you. So even if you say, yes, I believe in Christ, and yes, I'm praying to Christ, and yes, I'm a Christian, unless you're actively involved with your soul, you're being led by the Holy Spirit, and you're doing the things that the Bible commands us to do, then, you know, you can say whatever you want.
That's right.
You know, it's what you believe and what you feel. So that's, you know, and again, I think I love a free nation. And I would be the first one to argue against giving the Muslims or anybody else, the Hindus, anybody, an opportunity to express their faith the way that they want to. Because
sure.
I certainly wouldn't want mine infringed upon.
That's right.
But I think in the battlefield of faith, my humble opinion is Christianity wins out every time.
It does win out, but we are in a battle. There's no question about that.
Without question. Oh, the enemy, the thief comes to steal and plunder and destroy.
That's right.
And he's trying. He's trying. But there's another verse. I've come to give life and give life more abundant.
Yep. Well, it's awesome to see you guys here, not afraid to talk about it. And I sure appreciate that. And we're enjoying ourselves out here. Can you, I know you got to go here to another press thing or whatever it is
that
you do.
It's a meeting, yeah, where they tell me
meeting.
What I can and cannot
okay.
say. Okay.
Perfect. You know,
yeah.
Get it all out now.
Right.
So for people here, you know, we're going to be down in the chute today and videotaping the rodeo. And there's a couple things that you do during that rodeo. And we want to make sure we get that on film as well. And that's one, you've got a couple guys that come out in these old stage coaches.
Right.
And then at the end, you know, I've seen you do a couple different things, but one of the things I noticed you did was you had a couple cowboys come out on their horses and rescue this calf.
Right.
And there's a little story that you tell behind that. You know, I can't help but think when you talk about the American cowboy kind of risking everything to go save the one, I sure think about Christ with that.
Risking
you know,
everything.
Gave everything and went out to get the one lost sheep.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you just gave me goosebumps. I could tell you that we've had closings with Mercy Me, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
You know, we do one where the closest we'll ever get to heaven on earth is doing what God created us to do and being what God created us to be. And then we'll turn out a baby horse. And we'll say, look, there is bucking horse blood that runs through this horse's veins. God put the spirit inside this horse to kick and to buck. You know, we could never force it to do it, okay?
Right.
In the same way that God created this little horse to buck, he created this cowboy to ride. And a little kid comes riding into the arena on a big old horse, and he leads the colt around the arena and takes him out of the arena. And we make the point that, you know, if you want to live heaven on earth, as close as you'll get, find out what God created you to do and do it. Because that's what these bucking horses and these cowboys are doing. So we've got a lot of different closings in it. So we just like to leave people with a thought that isn't probably as mainstream as they thought it was going to be when they first came and sat down.
Yeah. Well, before you go, any particular rodeo memories, fondness that you have from this particular show?
Yeah. You know, I have a lot of them. First of all, this is a family that produces this event. And by that, I mean the Servi family, the National Western family and their staff. And probably the thing that I will take out of this once I leave here someday is the friendships. They're eternal. You know, they're eternal. And to try to say, oh, this one ride, this 89-point ride, or the 92-point bull ride that we had from Fred Betcher the other night, that doesn't do justice to the deeper things. The deeper things, the friendships, the kinships, the hard-fought battles when you're tired and you're fatigued, and there's 8,000 people here on a Saturday night, and they want to be entertained, and it's your job to help them be entertained. So they're sharing 2 hours of their life with you that you can't refund them.
Yeah.
In other words, time is the most precious natural element of our day. If I waste your time, I can't give it back to you.
That's right.
You know, those 2 hours of your life are gone. And they came and they not only gave us their money to come in and sit down, but more importantly, they gave us 2.5 hours of their life.
Sure.
And so for me, that's the most special thing, is to know people have entrusted us to entertain them, to leave them with thoughts and feelings that are wholesome and good.
Well, I'll tell you, it's working. And for me, Boyd, I just want to share with you, from being a guy who's from Florida, grew up either on the beach or in the city, now I've come out here and I don't have the boots or the belt buckle yet, but I did press my jeans.
Yes, and you know what else? You're probably also starting to get accustomed to the smell.
I don't mind it. Our memorable moment is we were in the chute the other night and we got stared down by a bull, you know, with snot hanging out of his nose. And,
you know, for those
that
guys,
that was awesome.
God bless them. Those guys like to ride motorcycles and jet skis and stuff like that. But keep this in mind. Every one of those machines, be it a NASCAR or race car, has a kill switch. You can shut it off if things get crazy.
That's right. Okay?
This bull, he doesn't know the game's over just because the whistle blew. And so that adds an element of challenge to our guys that other guys probably don't face.
Yeah, it's an awesome sport, and we're honored to be able to be out here and cover it. So,
well, thank you so much for coming.
Great interview. Out of the park.
Thanks.
Thanks very
Appreciate
much.
Appreciate it.
All right, here we are at the National Western Stock Show with Corey Ross, team roper extraordinaire, right?
That's what some call me. That's what others may not call me, though.
Yeah. More importantly, Corey is the founder of Cowboy Ministries.
That's correct.
I want to ask you what that is, because you founded that some time ago.
Yeah, we're probably about 15, 20 years ago. We began to get interested in figuring some things out that cowboys weren't churched. I mean, we travel all the time.
Yeah.
We travel all but 2 weeks out of the year. And so we need to bring church to them just like anything else. And so I founded Cowboy Ministries. It's a personal ministry. A lot of ministries were founded well before me. My spiritual father, Glenn Smith, was one of the first pioneered in the Western world, primarily to rodeo cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one that really, really quit everything he did to go and just simply tell the good news to cowboys, mainly Western world. And when he did that, it just opened a big deal. Now it was hard dealing at first. You know, cowboys are a little different. They're not used to the suit and tie Sunday churches like some of us are grown up in. But, you know, they're people. They're people that love God. They just need to know how. And so when we founded the ministries, what we do now is we travel the country and we tell them about Jesus. I have a church as well. I have about 500 that come on a Sunday morning, and we just do it cowboy style. Now, I don't wear a suit and tie, but, you know, our suit and tie is a nice, you know, starched shirt and starched pants and some boots, and we feel comfortable with that.
Sure.
And so if we can just tell the good news, that's what gospel is. That's what the word of God proclaimed, is preach the good news, the gospel. And so when you preach it to them, I'm telling you, they flock it, they live it, and that's the greatest thing about cowboy ministries.
Well, you're busy not just doing that, but you still do team rope. In fact, you're competing here today. And that's got to take a lot of your time up to practice. What does that look like to a guy who's grown up in the city and on the beach and, you know, just introduced to this rodeo world? Tell us about team roping.
Well, team roping is a great event because it's a team event where you have to rope a steer's horn and turn them and handle them in such a way where your partner can rope the back feet. And so it's really a neat tool because I travel with the cowboys a lot. I understand what they go through. I understand the temptation that's out there. And so for them to see that I'm one of them, it shows lots of credibility. And so there's nothing to have some Bible studies in the horse trailers. There's nothing to do a cowboy church service during the rodeos that we go to.
Mm-hmm.
And so being one of them and then competing at this level is extremely important. The practice time, you know, I think it's just like anything else. It's like reading the Word of God. You know, you've got to do it. I was talking to a cowboy just yesterday, and we was coming around the arena, or actually it's a practice arena, and we was telling each other stories about what's going on in our life, and he just simply asked me a question real fast. He said, you know, I don't understand the Bible. I said, you know what? It's just like roping. Everything rodeo-wise is repetition. The more you do the basics of how you swing a rope and how you ride a horse, it all goes right into the Word of God. The more you read it, the more you break down one scripture. See, you don't have to read the whole word. Sometimes it's boring trying to go from Genesis to Revelations, trying to read the Bible in a year. But you know, if you read the Gospels or you read the Epistles, you can break one scripture down, and that one scripture, I can do all things through Christ. That one scripture, we can spend probably 30 minutes in meditating on I can do what? All. Still, I can do all things. All right, what's things to you? Well, things to me is roping. I can do it. I'm a winner. And when there's 5,000 people there, I can still do it. When there's no one there and no one's around, are you still going to live for the Lord? Yeah, I can do it. When the temptation comes, are you going to fall? No, because I can abstain from living that lifestyle. And so that one scripture, then you can't leave out the ending, of course, because that's through Christ, right? And then it produces something. It produces strength. So when you can do all things through Christ, which gives you strength, then that opens up. I can understand that. Cowboys can understand that. And, you know, we was able to minister in about 10 minutes some edification. How do you read the Word of God? And it all came on horseback.
That's awesome, man. And you get experiences like that a lot, I'm sure.
Oh, you know, I ministered a lot of college kids. And so when you minister to college kids, then, you know, it's funny because you can see them peeking around the trailer to see if we're there. And then when someone comes in our motorhome or bus or whatever, then the others are peeking around to see who went in the preacher's bus. And, you know, we're able to counsel. We're able to pastor them. Mm-hmm. We're able to teach them the Word of God. The fivefold then comes into effect. And, you know, things just happen. And ministry never stops out here in the rodeo business because they're give out. They're tired. Sometimes they're not winning. Sometimes they are winning. Do they know how to handle winning? And so ministry never stops, and that's part of why we're out here.
Yeah. Do you notice that in the rodeo, because you've been doing it for a long time, and in fact, I do want to mention, too, I read somewhere that you worked on John Wayne's ranch when you were a kid.
Well, I didn't, but my dad did. Okay. My dad worked for John Wayne when he was I was just born.
I was going to say, you're my age. You're 38, 37?
I'm 38. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay.
And so I was just a little baby. It was in the 67, 68, and 69. I was born in 69. And, you know, my dad was just a ranch hand. He run a Hereford ranch in Casa Grande, Arizona, where I was born. And so we were around John Wayne. John Wayne would come to our house, my dad would say, and he would drink coffee. And, of course, we have the books and the magazines of my dad as one of the ranch hands. And so being around the cowboy lifestyle, being around a famous man like John Wayne was pretty awesome.
Oh, I bet. What I was going to ask you before I got sidetracked on that, because I didn't want to miss something especially that was for my father-in-law. He's a big fan of John Wayne.
Oh, yeah, lots of people are.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Are you noticing when you go around to these colleges and you're preaching more to these young kids, are there more young kids getting involved in rodeo, or does it seem to be diminishing? What's that look like?
No, you know what's happening. Because rodeo has gotten so popular, and now television like this, like what you guys are doing, is causing, through media, more exposure. And so with more exposure comes more interest.
Yeah.
Now horses, the market has gone up. The horses are more expensive now. But there's more interest. There's more interest in just learning how to ride a horse. And then they can either go in different avenues of, you know, pleasure riding or cutting or rodeo or whatever they want to go into.
Sure.
And so there's lots of interest nowadays, more than back in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, good deal. Well, that's good to hear, man. We're having a great time out here. This is all new to us. But how can people get in touch with Cowboy Ministries?
Well, we have a website that, mm-hmm. that goes along with our church, and our church is in Williamson County and just below Austin, Texas.
Okay.
It's one of the, of course, you got to understand that Cowboy Church is one of the fastest growing churches in the United States. They just did a study about, and there's so many churches coming up, and Cowboy churches, of course, are all just designed. They're just like regular church, with the exception of we don't preach denomination. Yeah. Doctrines. No,
sure.
We just preach the Word of God.
Excellent.
Of course, at a rodeo like here in Denver, when we do a church service in any rodeo, then there's one of everybody.
Yeah.
And so we have a website called wccowboychurch.org.
Okay.
And you go to that website and it goes to about our church, about me as the pastor. Then you can click on just to coreyross.org.
Okay.
.com, and that can send you to some websites that talk about Cowboy Ministries and just tells you how much he loves us and how good he is and how you don't have to wear a suit and tie. Now, there's nothing wrong with them because we love them. But a cowboy, again, when they're used to goats and cattle and horses and deer, their suit and tie is just a little bit different, but we've got to reach them.
Yeah.
And this is one way to do it.
Absolutely. Any of those websites, people might be able to get a hold of your CDs?
You know what? I recorded my first CD. Uh-huh. It's been a good while back, and it's been sold out for a long time. So I decided until I record this next album that I'm working on, I'm letting everybody go that goes to that website, wccowboychurch.org,
uh-huh.
they can download my CD for free.
All right.
And I'm letting everybody have it that way.
That's the first CD?
That's the first CD.
Okay.
It's called Anointed.
All right, excellent.
And it's a really great one, and it's got some good songs that people remember, and so that's how you can get it.
Well, I'm going to get that, and then I want to get a copy of this next one when it comes out, too.
It'd be an honor.
Hey, thank you so much. We look forward to talking to you again, and good luck in the competition today. We'll be watching you.
We're going to have a good time, and I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, man. God bless you, bro.